The following recording is copyright 2011, Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
Probably most of us have had at one time or another some troubling experience that forced us to open our eyes to some reality to which we had previously been blind. What went on inside you the very first time that you ever saw desperate poverty? I remember how I felt the first time I ever saw a filthy baby held by a toothless young mother with sunken cheeks begging a few coins, and realized that worse than her material poverty was the profound sense of abandonment I saw in her. The spiritual poverty, the loneliness, the fear and despair lurking behind her sad eyes. Poverty and despair are as old as the human race. But once our eyes are opened to these and other tragedies, we have a choice. We can give away a few coins and then close our eyes to the bigger issues lurking below the surface, try to put it out of our mind, or we can keep our eyes open and gain a new, more accurate understanding of reality that puts everything else in a different light. That's what Jesus is trying to accomplish in today's gospel. We, like the people in Jesus' audience, spend most of our time working to earn money to buy the things we need and the things we want. And Jesus warns of a danger lurking below the surface of this necessary human activity. He says, you cannot give yourselves to God and money. He says, I warn you, do not worry about your livelihood, what you are to eat or drink or wear. Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than they? Jesus invites us to open our eyes to see that in our blindness, we often give more importance to things than we do to our relationship with God. And here, he's talking about necessary things, food, drink, clothing. Can you imagine what he would say to those who put luxuries ahead of their relationship with God? And this is a very easy trap to fall into. The danger is that this can become our whole world. And we begin to view all of reality as if everything were just so many goods, so many items. And sad to say, our American society has bought into this consumer mentality. Three examples. First example. Whenever the main reason we come to church is to get something out of it, we've made religion into a commodity. When we come here for some reason other than to praise the Lord and thank Him for His goodness to us, which is why we should come, if we come expecting to get something, you know, we turn it into a commodity. Now, naturally, we all want Mass to be a good experience. That's a blessing. But whenever we actually leave feeling shortchanged because the bishop's homily was mediocre, or because the music wasn't as good as it usually is, or whatever, we need to ask ourselves, why in the world did I come there in the first place? To get something or to give something? The main reason for coming to Mass is to give rather than to get. To give ourselves to the Lord who has given so much to us. To give Him thanks for His many blessings, which is, by the way, what the word Eucharist means. It's the Greek word for thanksgiving. That's why we're here. Another example. Children can become a commodity. Whenever we calculate how many we can afford to acquire and then use artificial means to prevent excess inventory, rather than first asking God in prayer to guide our decisions and then using natural family planning in order to work with the Lord in being wise stewards of the gift of life, all the while remaining open to whatever God's will is for us. But that's not how it is for most Americans. In American law today, the parents are consumers and the children are products. Okay? And the child in the womb is a commodity. And so in our law, parents can decide whether to keep the product or send it back by abortion, especially if quality control, amniocentesis, suggests that there might be defects. In fact, some will even sue the doctor for damages if he doesn't deliver a perfect baby, a perfect product. You turn babies into things rather than human beings. Third example. Adults in the workforce become commodities whenever our boss values us only for what we produce and not for who we are. Valuable only so long as we are productive members of society. And from that mentality, people even go so far to imagine that our salaries tell us how much we're worth. That person earns more, they're worth more than I am. Did you ever wonder why so many retirees die within a year of retirement? They're no longer earning anything. They no longer feel worth like they're worth anything. They have become a commodity in their own mind. Jesus challenges this consumer mentality. He calls it idolatry. He calls it slavery. He says, you cannot be a slave of both God and money. He says, no one of us can be a slave of two masters. Either we'll hate the first and love the second, or treat the first with respect and the other with scorn. Each of us chooses who will be the master of our life. Will it be the Lord, or will it be this world and the values of this world? Will we live according to the consumer mentality that promises happiness that it cannot deliver and values us only for what we produce? Or will we live according to a Christian mentality, the way of truth and life, which values us for who we are, children of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus, and each other, temples of the Holy Spirit, having each one of us God-given worth because God created us and loves us. Even those people viewed as a burden for society have value from the very first moment of conception and all 9 months in the womb, throughout all those years of childhood when the child is still not producing anything except trouble, and through old age when you're no longer able to produce anything, all the way to natural death. That's the Christian gospel.